Hello, I'm Michael Wilson. As the public sector faces unprecedented cuts and private sector organisations continue to have to fight for every business pound they make, new evidence suggests that the physical, mental and financial health and well-being of the nation's workforce can all too often take a back seat. But is it organisations that focus on maintaining and improving employee health and well-being that stand to succeed most when economic conditions improve? Indeed, is health and well-being the key to an engaged and productive workforce? Well, joining me today to discuss the key issue of health and well-being at work and providing some tips to employers are Nick Kemsley, co-director of the Henley Centre of HR Excellence, and James Glover, corporate sales and marketing director from healthcare provider Simply Health. So, Nick, first of all, this new study from Simply Health suggests that for many workers, health and well-being is at an all-time low. Why do you think this is?
I think in the current economic situations, people are having to work a lot harder. People are having to fill in for roles. People are having to travel more between sites. And I think this all begins to take a toll, with some organisations becoming ever leaner and some organisations potentially being over lean and not filling vacancies that exist.
What evidence is there that overlooking health and well-being actually has a negative effect on business?
The research confirms probably what a lot of people would have suspected anyway, which is that there is a positive impact on productivity that comes from having an effective health and well-being strategy. So there are three key areas in which having an effective health and well-being strategy can have a positive influence. And those are in relation to absenteeism, reduces absenteeism, an increased feeling of loyalty, and the amount of effort and willingness to go the extra mile that employees have. That is shown and confirmed by the research that by having an effective health and well-being strategy, those areas can be improved, leading to increased productivity.
Nick, what was the most significant finding from the report from your point of view, from an independent point of view, if you like?
If I look at the research in this area, it shows that there is a link between high levels of engagement and reduced absenteeism, increased discretionary effort. So I think it's fair to say that research would indicate a link between engagement and productivity. It also shows that one of the key factors in engagement is a feeling of feeling worthwhile and valued. So for me, I think one of the key factors that comes out of this report, if you look at feeling worthwhile and valued, is the increasing importance of that in current turbulent times for people.
James, how does the public sector compare with the private sector?
There is, and probably unsurprisingly to most of us, a stark difference in some of the areas around responses of both employees and employers in the public versus private sector. In particular, thinking about comparisons between now and how people felt a year ago, now over a quarter of public sector employees feel that their employer cares less about them than they did a year ago. That's double the figure compared with the private sector. Also, if you look at overall how people feel about whether they are valued or not, 40% of public sector workers feel that they are not valued, which is double the level almost compared with the private sector.
Do the findings mirror your own research at the Henley Centre of HR Excellence, Nick?
I think they do in respect of the importance of feeling worthwhile and valued in employment. I think what they also hint at, which is an interesting finding for me, is do they suggest that employers are moving from more financially led or investment led vehicles for supporting engagement through health and well-being to more non-financial or more cost-effective means? I think that's one of the questions that is promoted for me through looking at the survey.
Nick, from an independent point of view, what do you think are the key lessons here for employers?
What's becoming a real focus with employers at the moment is what they're calling the employee deal. So this is really about an articulation of what is it you get through working with and for us, and what is it we expect in return? And I think there's an opportunity to better articulate the benefits either through total reward statements or through other means of some of the invisible or less tangible benefits that an employer can offer employees in this area.
So, James, from your organisation's point of view, what lessons would you address to employers?
The clear overall message that comes across is that there is a link between having an effective health and well-being strategy and these areas that we have talked about. As a consequence, we would be saying to employers, we would like to engage with and consult with you on looking at how we design the best strategy and provide the elements that we are able to help with to weave into an effective health and wellbeing strategy, because this is not a question any longer of just a one size fits all, take out your shopping list of benefits. There are lots of different things that we can help employers with. The second thing is that we welcome the opportunity to work with employers to help to articulate what the benefit and health and wellbeing strategy is to their employees, whether that's through carrying out roadshows or having an effective intranet. It needs to be tailored to the individual organisation, because what works best in one organisation won't be the same as in another. There is a gap between the perception of employees as to what the benefits are that they're receiving and employers' view of what they are providing. And we can work effectively with companies to help them close that gap.
How does all this, Nick, help the battle to get talent into a company?
I think it helps on two fronts. First of all, the direct attraction of talent to a business. The benefits that an organisation can offer are a key part of the equation, more so probably now than in the past because of the economic situation. But I think it's also attacking it from the other end, which is in alleviating the number of people who may be leaving a business. Because if you are able to show your workforce that you do value them, they should be less likely to leave and to give you the problem of having to recruit people.
James, there's a very important statistic in all this. Only 3% of employees described themselves as loyal when they felt that employers don't care about their health and well-being. That's quite a stark statistic as well, isn't it? Sounds fairly obvious, but it's still a big one.
It is, absolutely, and it shows what kind of expectation employees have. They don't see it as being a 9-to-5, collect my paycheck at the end of the week kind of relationship anymore. They expect more than that. The fact that they are not willing to demonstrate loyalty towards an organisation that is not offering them something more than just the paycheck, absolutely confirmed by those figures.
James, if people want to find more about this, where do they go?
To read Simply Health's Engaging Employees Through Health and Wellbeing report, they can visit our website, which is simplyhealth.co.uk.
Well, thanks, James and Nick, for joining us today for this podcast brought to you on behalf of Simply Health.